With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, and welcome to RPG From Scratch. I'm your host, Josh LaForge, and with me today is Liam.
Smagma.
Doug.
Hello.
And Max.
Yes.
I do have kind of a general feeling of malaise today, so I think
I don't. I'm like banging on all cylinders.
Oh, I'm glad. Okay.
That's not true. I'm like gassed, but I'm happy to be here.
I slept very poorly.
And, I did too.
I took a nap and it made me feel worse.
I got called a little bitch today, so I'm fucking feeling it.
Oh.
Yeah, that's all it takes. I'll just say that every time before we start recording.
Oh, don't worry. That kid's going to race tomorrow. Unrelated.
Yeah. I call myself a little bitch.
Liam's going to show up next week and be like, oh, I'm so tired today. Oh, stop being a little bitch. Oh, now it's fucking on.
I will fuck your mom.
So, last week we did the Lamplighters and we avoided completing a path.
Yes.
I got two options for us. We can do the Keepers. We've done some discussion about them, but we can go a little deeper and kind of bang out the corners. And we can complete a path. The ones we've only done Citadel. Mm-hmm. And we won't do Zealotry for a little bit.
Yes.
All right. So we've got Champion, which I think we're also kind of holding off on for balance reasons.
Yes.
Command, Death, Fire, Ice, Marksman, Radiance, and Scoundrel.
My votes are Command or Scoundrel.
Ice.
Ice. All right. Got a preference, Doug?
I'm partial to Ice and Marksman.
I think that sounds like we're going to roll some dice.
Let's do it. All right.
I'm down for it.
Got eight. Eight to pick from.
Path of Least Resistance.
I think we'll... Let's include Champion, because we can adjust the numbers later.
Let's do it.
Do it.
Feel about it?
Do it. Right.
One. Champion.
Just fuck it up. Let's do it.
Champion.
All right.
He's my favorite Dillo. Champ.
Champ.
Yeah.
Good old Champ.
You know, the crowd favorite character I created that doesn't talk and isn't a character.
Yes. He had moods.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ball. He had story moments.
Ball mood and walking mood.
He's moody.
He grazed. He grazed.
Grazed, yeah.
He stole my heart.
We can't do Champ.
Nope, no Champ.
We don't have step six for Champ.
All right, roll it again.
Seven.
Ice.
That is Radiance.
Let's do it.
Hit it up.
All right. Do love me some Radiance.
Dazzling, bitch.
All right. Step six Radiance, they got Spotlight, where Snap will attack. You transfer some of your self-luminance to another target creature, illuminating them for all to see until the end of your turn. In two rounds, the target is visible in all conditions unless made invisible or obscure by a superseding magical or mechanical effect. Target cannot gain the upper hand from flanking. Displacing Flash, a move action once per scene. You focus on a point in space and any objects within it. With a flash, you become a blinding bolt of light, bridging the two points before appearing at the opposite end. You teleport to a spot exactly seven spaces from where you currently are. All creatures between you and the destination capable of sight take a -2 to attack rolls for one round. If a creature or loose object your size or smaller is occupying that space, you and the occupant switch places. That one's fun.
Yeah, that's
I love
excited.
That one.
I'm excited.
Yeah,
for
I love
that
one.
That's a good one.
And Supernova, which it took a lot of discussion, but we got it. It's a per scene attack action, targets an area. The range is burst one. Plus one per charge. Instead of outward, you focus your radiant energy inward. Once per round, you may spend a swift action to add a charge to Supernova. At the end of each of your turns, you lose hit points equal to double the number of charges you have.
God damn.
This loss of life is not mitigated by shielding or your armor. You may release the charges on your turn as a scene attack action to heal all allies and damage all enemies with radiant damage within range. Any enemies or allies not within your direct line of sight, such as having an ally interposed between you and them, or partially obscured by an object, only suffer or benefit from half of this effect. All allies within range gain shielding equal to your composure. And the damage is 16, plus your level, plus the number of charges. That's your dice tier.
It's rad.
And then add your composure.
Radiance rules.
Super rad.
Radiance is so good.
It is good.
But I don't know. Again, I feel like Radiance and Citadel are two paths I'm never afraid of going hard on.
Agreed.
Because it's always easy to reel them in. And two,
you want people to adopt them, mm-hmm. too.
Because they're so useful in a group setting, having them be able to do a lot of stuff always feels good. We need three more for them? Two more steps?
Four more.
All right.
So we've got step seven is going to be an emergency rescue.
Okay.
Either of yourself or someone else.
I almost like self-preservation, especially after Nova.
I do too, but they have a lot of that.
They have the teleport. They have the...
They've got two teleports.
Yeah.
Also, they can heal themselves very easily, yeah. right? They've got the curving light, and they've got Roy G. Blitz.
It's so good.
Yeah. They've also got prismatic form.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they can occupy all these different spaces, and if you try to hit them, you know. And they've also got that thing where if they take no negative action towards an enemy, they can designate themselves, you know.
All right. How big do we want to go this? Because I got a pitch.
Pitch what you got.
Resurrection, baby.
Think about all these, yeah.
I want a resurrection.
Resurrection. Resurrect yourself?
No. You can't resurrect. I want this. As Radiance, you cannot resurrect yourself. I want, this is not zero hit points. This is zero momentum. I want zero momentum. You raise someone from functionally dead. Here's the thing. Gotta spend momentum.
How about, because I think what I'm about to say is the same vein as what you're saying,
yes.
but I think it might gel with the current death and dying rules.
Mm-hmm.
What if you can remove someone's death score?
Well, like that.
Right, because that's just effectively...
I think you got to take it, though.
You take their death score? Ooh, I like that, because you're still up,
You're still up.
So you're gaining death score, but does your death score go away as soon as you're up? No, it doesn't. We have it fall off slowly, right?
Yes.
So you can take someone's death score for them?
Yep.
I like that.
It's not bad.
What do you guys think?
I like it. Like the Sin Eater?
I think you have to roll, though. You have to roll for the amount you remove.
So how does the death score work if it's like one
score? I'll go to the death and dying rules because I feel like that'll be...
Should you roll for each one you take, though?
Because when you say like you take their death score, it's like you're basically... The idea is that they're already down at this point?
I'll just read it.
Yeah.
Because I think you could do it while they're up because it doesn't fall off immediately as well. So when your character drops to zero hit points, they fall unconscious and begin dying. Every round on your turn, your character gains 5 death score. Any additional damage taken while at zero hit points, such as from area of effects or bleed, adds to your death score rather than subtracting further from your hit points. When your death score equals or exceeds your remaining momentum, your character dies.
Gotcha.
When you receive healing while dying, you heal from 0 hit points and immediately regain consciousness. Then you roll for a trauma. Your death score persists. For every hour your character spends fully resting, your death score is reduced by 1.
So when you say takes their death score, you mean basically just takes a dry erase marker to it and says you're back to 0?
No. As in, hand that to me. That's mine now.
So area of effects or any attacks will no longer affect that downed character?
No, it will. I think you remove from what they have.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where and just in that moment?
Let's say they have 15 momentum and 14 death score.
Right.
Any more death score is going to be bad for them. You jump in and you're like, no, I'll take that 14 death score.
Yeah, or like 10 of it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to roll for the amount I can.
They're air quotes back to 0.
No. Well,
if you're lucky.
I think you should have to roll.
Yeah.
Right? Like you should have to roll to remove death score. And it shouldn't be something that scales with your level because the amount you get doesn't at all.
So whatever I would roll would subtract their death score?
Yeah, and add to you.
Okay.
So if they're down with like 250 momentum, you may not want
to. And that's added to you as wounds or as
it just adds to your death score. Because remember, the only way
for every hour your character spends, you don't gain a malady. This isn't a situation in which you are physically harmed. This is a metaphysical doom. You have taken their doom upon them.
So you have taken their death is on loan to you.
Yes.
And if someone comes to cash the check and knocks you down to 0, you're fucked.
Yep.
Okay.
Until you rest for some time.
Until you rest for
that. And I like that you can't just heal out of it, right? Like, this is...
And
I do think there needs to be a second part to that where Radiance should heal death score faster or more efficiently.
Hmm. Maybe. I think we talked about their capstone, their level 10, being instant resurrection.
What
that'd be great. Where they just, cool, only pile them, it on,
are
pile
there,
it
are
on,
only
pile
themselves.
It on, pile it on.
Yeah.
Are there
only once and only themselves and make it a daily, right?
Yeah.
Are there any instances where a character would take additions to their death score without suffering physical damage and still be standing? Or is this just a thing that
I think
only
it's Radiance just Radiance. I think that's just Radiance.
We could find a way
maybe,
for Death to do it.
Maybe Death could do it,
but I don't think it's for the same reason.
I'm just playing it out in my head.
If anything, it should be the larger death score you have, the more damage you do, or something insane.
Because
here's the
thing.
That
could be fun.
Like, if your champion goes down.
Yes.
And you're like, fuck, we cannot lose them. You do this maneuver. They have way more momentum than you do. So you're taking on a huge death score that you would never...
You would just heal them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But why wouldn't you do that? And you could always just heal them. If you're worried about getting your guy up...
I'm saying you could always just heal him.
Yeah. This is someone is reaching the end of their death
score.
I'm saying you are terrified.
Yeah. Champion is down. His death score is 49 and he only has 50 momentum.
Yeah.
So now you're like, fuck. Normally you as the healer, as Radiance, only has, let's just say, 15 momentum.
Yeah.
Now you've taken on so much death score, it's more than double like what you have.
The moment you hit zero.
Yeah. The moment you hit zero, you're fucking instantly dead.
But that's your job.
So then what happens if and when the champion gets back up again? Like what? Like
I think the champion should get up from, like, taking death score. This should also be a heal.
And it should be
a very minor heal.
So now
This isn't a mega heal and death score. I think they need to be able to get up.
I disagree. Here's why. Because I think this should be an at-will ability.
Okay.
Ooh. Because it's so dangerous.
Okay.
Or it should be once per scene.
I think it should be a scene.
Because daily does, like...
No, I want it.
At will is like, fucking bring it on. You know, like, because then I'll just switch to this person.
Or you just reach a point of, cool, I have 25 momentum, I have 30 death score.
If I fall down,
I'm in for a penny.
Yeah. Who cares at that point?
Per scene, or should we make it once per day? Because you have to rest to take it off. Should you be able to remove death score from multiple people over the course of a day? I don't think so.
I don't know. I think if we make it
a daily ability, we can make it a swift.
Okay.
I'm down.
Okay.
Right.
I like that because then you can still heal and get them up too.
As long as
that's true. Because I don't like the idea of you do that.
Correct.
They're still down. Oh, your big gamble?
Yeah.
Because of the way this is set up, weren't even able to take a turn to undo that.
So
I like that, the idea that it's a swift.
So the big gamble is that you take on that thing, and if anything knocks you down, you're fucking dead. It's a huge fucking problem. So this lasts even after the encounter's over, and you need to heal it out.
This could last days.
Yeah. And is there...
Should we make it so you can remove it from any number of targets? Because you could take on...
an insane debt, like, if everyone's going down.
And you're like, I literally need a week. Like, I need a week of no combat to deal with this.
Yes.
That... I think on one hand, the idea of, you know what, I'm going to do it for every... You're having a shit time. Dice are going bad.
Gotta be May.
And you save the entire party.
I have 50 death score.
Yeah, you have fucking...
I'm saying way higher than that. Because people are sitting on 30 momentum a lot of the time.
If I'm at 30 momentum...
I'm at 120 death score.
Right. If I'm at 30 momentum... And several of my party go down, and I'm at 50 death score. Fuck it. I'm going to go to 120 if that's what it takes. On one hand, that seems too much. But on the other hand...
You're Radiance, goddammit. This is your job.
But on the other hand, this encounter's over. You're on your way back to town, and a fucking bandit troop shows up, and a stray arrow...
That's the risk.
Yeah, that's the risk.
So it's the ring.
Oh, there you go. It's the ring.
You just won this giant battle, and now you're walking back, and you get murdered.
The opposite of a necromancer. You're taking onto yourself.
But also, I love the role-playing ability of that, because the moment you have a Radiance character do this to you, you as a player are aware of that. The idea of a life debt becomes mechanically true.
You're at step 7, so you're level 6 at a minimum.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you haven't figured out that you need to protect Radiance,
this will hammer that home of like, how much does our healer do for you? The moment that happens to you, you're like, I will anything that gets in your face.
The next mission is just protecting the.
Oh yeah, that the whole difficulty of the next encounter is nothing can touch this man. I like it.
All right.
Down.
I like the idea that you don't get to decide how much you remove.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I think you roll individually for each target.
Yes.
They have to be within line of sight, and you have to have line of sight, and they have to be within, do we make it close, like 5?
Yes. Because they have to be in a little bit, you as Radiance have to be in a little bit of danger to begin
with.
This is a daily thing or once per game thing?
Daily. Swift action.
Okay, daily.
Daily, swift action.
Okay, so when you say it's daily, that means I can only do it one time, and if I roll a 1, I only get 1 death score off of that person?
Yep. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But then I can't even do it again if team member 2 goes down.
That's why you pick it when 5 people are down,
or when they've gone down and gotten back up a bunch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they can be up and have remaining death score.
Because if someone only has two death score and you bring them up one, you're like, okay, but if they're up.
But now, just so I'm clear, so now if three people go down, yes, I can still just do one maneuver of this as a swift action.
Yes.
Death score is removed from all three of them.
You okay. Roll individually for each.
Okay.
But the randomness, I like it. You know when they like suck siphon gas? You never know what's going to shoot that first time?
So speaking of randomness, how do we feel about this?
What, two 220?
Yes. I think that's pretty fun.
I
right?
like that.
Very swingy.
Could be two. Could be 40.
Yeah. And you roll for each
individual
character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Doug, you've got how much death score you got? Give me a number.
12.
All right. I can take. I got it. I got all 12. Yeah. All right. Liam, how much you got?
I have 30.
I got 29 of it. All right, Max.
74.
You hoard some momentum, bro.
Well, the only thing is, you're going to get up and go, cool, I leveled twice.
I got 21 of it.
All right.
So what's that leave me with? It was 12,
29.
Right? 29 and 70 or and 21.
Again, a swift breeze, you're dead.
I think it should come with a debuff as well. More than just I think until at least the end of your next turn, right? It should be risky.
Yeah.
Okay. Cuz if you're just like, I'm in the back, I'm not. Like, yeah. They've got a shield wall in front of me or whatever. What about your dex and intellect drop to zero until the end of your end of your next turn?
That is the worst debuff that exists in game, I think.
I thought
but
you
I'd
were gonna,
take it. I'd do it.
I thought you were going to suggest something more like any attack that hits you, you have like hemophilia and you just bleed out or...
I'm not... Yeah. Know. I don't know.
I'm okay with it, though, because it reduces your dodge to, what, base 10?
Base 10.
That's okay. That's doable.
Yeah.
If it's reducing your dodge, because if you have to, like, concentrate and do it, and you're just kind of in a woozy headspace, that I think that makes sense. Cause
it reduces your dodge. It reduces your attack.
Mm-hmm. I think you should be able to keep gifted dodge. Like
sure, yeah.
Phalanx and stuff like
it
that.
Reduces
you still,
it reduces your stats.
It reduces, yeah. You.
How about all stats? All five of your stats just reduce to zero until the end of your next turn.
Deal.
I love it.
Yeah?
Deal.
Because it is a big gamble.
It
and,
is.
You know, but if all of your party are down, and you're like, I'm doing it.
I got
you better get
I
the fuck
nothing.
Up.
Oh, well, the whole thing is also, again, we're talking about the capstone. There's a moment where if we do the capstone we're talking about, that gamble can pay off.
I think most of the time you should expect this to pay off.
Now, yes. if I had death score of 12 and you rolled a 2, am I getting up?
No, I think I'm going to lead that turn by healing you.
Mm-hmm.
So that
you're
going to
get up.
You wake up, and then I'm like, swift action, now I do this.
Yeah.
Move action, I'm going to try to run away.
Yeah.
So how am I even able to get up before you...
The healing.
You don't physically stand up unless like the thing that I gave you lets you stand up.
Right, right.
But
it stops me from dying further.
Yeah.
The next time you fall down, you don't immediately die.
It's like putting your thumb over an hourglass that's ticking down to kill you. If you're Jasmine.
You might even do it first to figure out who you gave the most time to. And someone that you only sucked away 4 from, you're like, you have to get up now. You can wait. I sucked 12 away from you. You have a couple turns.
Mm.
I can do you next turn.
Suck
but the
you
person
off,
who's,
you.
who was sitting at 15 when they have 17, I only sucked 2 away. You have to get up now.
Yeah.
You have to go now.
I kind of like the all attributes reduced to 0 to the end.
It's good.
Your next heal will suck.
Yep.
So you should heal first.
First.
Like, yeah, okay. I'm into this. I think this is a very fun...
This is throwing everything you got.
Yeah. Daily swift action.
But also, as Radiance, you could have a hand... If you are prepped well enough in a combat where you're doing okay, you could have a bunch of shielding. Like, there are ways to set this up where you are set up to succeed.
You can
prep well enough for it where this is definitely a gamble, definitely spooky. Like, your butthole is going to clench, but you can feel confident that you at least made the right decision.
I think that where it really comes into is if you have a bad first encounter of the day.
Yeah.
At the beginning of a dungeon crawl, and you get, like, 35 death score from that, and everybody's like, all right, well, we're all doing pretty good. Let's move into the thing. And you're like, guys... Yes, I have most of my spells back, but I cannot get hit. Do not let anything drop me to zero, because I will die immediately.
You have to now approach this completely differently.
Exactly.
Do they get to remove an injury?
No. Okay. That's all medicine. All right. right? Like, right. This is just the death score.
Just the death
score. And for each of these, we will round it out by giving them extra little things in each step, but this is, like, shaping the things that we want that are primary. All right, step 8, movement. They've got a lot of movement already.
Yeah, I don't know if they need one.
They have a lot of long-range movement. What about short-range? Can we give them something like...
Like a little slippery dodge of some kind?
One little, like, self-protection thing, maybe? Like,
I remember when my goblin character would shift if you missed with a melee attack.
We have that for Scoundrel.
I'm just thinking something that is...
Oh, Krex. We've got it for Krex.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something that just gives you a little...
That came in...
It was so good.
So for the listeners, it was 4th edition Dungeons & Dragons, and he was a goblin rogue, and if he... Anytime that he moved... 2 spaces within a round.
You got to hide
immediately. You got to roll a hide check.
We got to roll for myself. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, they tried to attack him while he was sleeping. They crit failed. Yeah. The first roll.
Because I'm also tiny.
So then he shifted.
and then he rolled and to wake up. He woke up and then shifted out of bed. Basically, like fell out of the hammock. And then somebody else goes to attack him and misses. And he moves his head. And now he's gone.
Gone.
Could you imagine the 2 assassins? What the fuck happened? He was asleep.
It's like the right one person, because they went for him first, because he's the goblin assassin. Like, he's a goblin rogue. And they're like, slip, oh fuck, where is he?
He's this tall. He's 2 feet tall.
He's like, more deadly Batman is, I think, we kept referring to.
Yeah, oh my god. That campaign was so much fun. Liam GM'd that campaign.
Oh yeah, and fuck GMing that game, by the way.
Oh, it was so fun.
It was the most fun ever. The first time I rolled for stealthing and
making encounters was infuriating.
We were in an open fucking field in broad daylight. I rolled to hide in my stealth, and I don't remember if it was a
38. It was a 38.
I didn't even crit, and then I was new to the game, and I'm like, is that good? And you said, Doug, you disappeared so well, they turn to look at you, and there is a window frame and curtains blowing in the breeze.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay.
They've clarified the rules on that, where it's like, if there's nothing to hide behind,
right,
you can't hide.
Well, like, we were in a field, so, you know, there was
there's stuff.
There was a boulder. There was a...
Man.
Where did he go?
You know, like, in a field.
Okay, what are we trying to incentivize Radiance doing at this level?
We've already given that thing to save someone from dying.
What are we trying to get them to do every turn on their own?
On their own, they've got basically unlimited credence to deal as much damage and aim wherever they want.
Yes.
But, I mean, they're not the highest damaging, but they don't have to be careful. So, like, that's not there.
But we just gave them this thing where if they decide to gamble, they're fucking, like, super fragile, vulnerable. So if we give them that movement thing where I'm super fucking vulnerable and not even everybody is up again yet, and here comes, you know, a troll with something to swing and hit them. If there's a way that they can just, like, their stats are still 0, but just kind of, you know, just a hair of, like, more maneuverability to avoid instant death.
Okay.
What if they can empire it, and if they move around a creature, they have a chance of knocking it over?
I like
that, but not for Radiance.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's a fun ability.
Super Scoundrel.
That sounds,
I was thinking more like the Flash, but yeah.
Yeah, I think they're already really fast, yes. Right? Like, in terms of raw mobility, they're probably the fastest we have.
This sounds like a Scoundrel thing, but is there something they can do that's like a distraction, like a poof, and
like, well, I mean, like a flash, like a flash of light.
Yeah,
after image is almost even a cool idea.
So the idea that it, like, if an attack is imminent on you, what's like a last ditch effort?
Like a flashbang?
But that's kind of Scoundrel-y.
I was thinking of that, but I also, I mean, you're doing the Tien Shin Han,
solar flare.
I was thinking about something like that, like as an immediate reaction, you can do an ability that could blind an opponent.
Didn't we have?
And then you could disengage if it succeeds.
Yeah. Bully blinders from Goonies.
But was it Liam? Was it you who said after image, or was it Doug?
I did.
Liam.
Okay. After image, you could just make a passive where if they move over a certain amount of distance on their turn, they make a trail that makes them harder to hit.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
Done. Which is simple, and we don't have to.
Yep.
It's good, right? Like, yep. Okay. I think let's make it a roll.
Yeah.
D4, your dodge increases by that much?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Should it be connected to how far you move?
I don't think. I think there's a minimum and that's it.
Okay.
Right. So
got to move 4, D4.
4. I like
it. Got to move 4, D4.
Okay. We'll call it after image trails of light.
Is it that what you roll is how far you're able to move?
No. It's a result of you moving. So
you move,
it's a passive.
Gain dodge.
Yeah.
And the roll is how much,
like, oof.
The roll determines how much of a smear you leave behind.
Yeah.
I gotta quit drinking.
God, Radiance is so much better than any healing class in anything.
I think Zealotry is going to give them a room for their money by the time we're done.
Zealotry doesn't feel like a pure healing class, or like a purer healing class.
This is only on your turn. So if it doesn't count for granted movement. Okay.
Although I do want to put asterisk. I think a fun thing for command would be like, hey, remember that thing that you get to do on only your turn? That now applies. That would be fun for command.
Do you get...
Put a pin in that, by the way.
Do you get the D4 to your dodge until the end of your next turn, or do you get it against just the next attack?
Next attack.
Okay. Before the end of your next turn.
Yes, because as soon as an attack goes through that after image...
Before the beginning of your next turn.
Yes.
Until the beginning of your next turn, but the next attack gets...
An attack gets sent through it, no one else is convinced.
Okay.
Which is good enough. That's already rad.
Yeah.
Can get you where you want to go.
Four dodge, even if you have zero stats, base 14 is pretty solid.
I agree. You should have more than that.
you should have, and had you not just sucked the death away from everyone, you will.
Okay, I like that.
Because what, Radiance isn't low dodge because of intelligence, right? Or do they use mostly composure?
Composure, if they don't care about hitting enemies, they don't care about intelligence. If they do, you probably should. You should probably, like, if you're going pure Radiance, you should probably focus in intellect. Yeah, intellect to hit, composure for the bonuses for everything. If you never care about hitting enemies, you can dump int, but then you lose to dodge.
Yeah.
But your allies will still be
healed. What else are you dumping?
Endurance.
Maybe.
Dexterity. Right? Strength for sure. Yeah. I don't think there's no reason to go strength unless you are core fire.
Yeah.
Right?
As a caster, not really. Yeah.
Core fire, the rest radiance would be pretty good, though.
It also is just thematically very fun.
Yeah. So it's a feature. I like that.
Yeah.
Just something movement-based. That's cool. Okay. We didn't name our emergency rescue ability, the one where you take on people's
death. Siphon death.
Life straw.
I like not using the word death, except in the death score mechanic.
Okay.
But I like the word siphon, and then you said life straw.
I drink your death score.
Golden thread.
Borrowed time.
That's the theme is really good. I like that theme the most.
I'm living on borrowed time.
I like it more than siphon because you are borrowing.
Martyr.
Ooh, martyrdom.
Martyr.
Just martyrdom?
Martyrdom.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But it's not guaranteed martyrdom, right? Like, if you don't die, you're not a martyr.
Let's go, folks! Martyrdom!
Look.
They're like, you son of a bitch!
Also, if Christ could get away without dying and taking a bunch of sin, he would have.
It wouldn't have made a difference. All right. I'm still sinning.
It never happened.
If you don't die,
Jesus. He did die. He just came back.
Yeah, but like
coming back negates the importance of dying.
Well, if you don't sin, he died for nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So jerk off to Luigi porn. Go for it.
That's true.
Luigi.
Onan is so happy.
A Luigi board?
A Luigi board. All right. Step 9, we replace their at-will attacks. Let me look at what we did for Citadel. So we can only replace their step 1 attack, and that's what we did for Citadel.
Yes.
Right. So let's go to Radiant step 1 attack.
Dazzling Ray.
Dazzling Ray. It's an at-will attack, area, Ray 5, intellect versus dodge. Beam of light blazes through allies and enemies alike. Casting this ability through multiple targets damages any enemies in the path and heals any allies for the same amount. We can increase the amount. Right now it's level plus 2, plus your composure.
Scales decently.
Yeah, it scales well. We can extend the range.
Eh.
I mean, we should do both of those. Yes. Things.
Can you bend it?
Let's go back to Citadel. What do we do for Citadel?
Can you bend the light?
Bend the light.
I think that's okay. I think in practice, bending it isn't like when you would just move. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think it would change that much. So they had a
warning strike.
We gave them advanced warning strike. Same as warning strike, except damage increases by 5 tiers, and you may choose an additional enemy within melee range to trigger the opportunity attack.
That's way better.
Yeah. Well, we haven't done anything for
Dazzling
Ray. It's
really good, though. No, I'm saying like that's a significant improvement to Warning Strike.
So I think let's extend the range by 2.
Okay.
Right. We'll call it Advanced Dazzling Ray.
Increase the damage tier and healing tier. We do not need to do it to the same extent.
No.
Because you're doing double duty.
Dazzling Rays.
Ooh.
Range plus 5. Dice tier.
I think
plus 5.
Yeah.
I think you should get 2.
I don't hate that. I don't know if that's the answer, but I don't hate it.
I don't hate it, but I also don't really love it, right? I think, how do we make this Ray more focused and interesting, right?
Okay.
Because we talked
before. Does it give you a boon?
Maybe gives the recipients a boon. Maybe it is worse for enemies, right? Go ahead, Doug. Sorry.
Just that we talked before about when you get to these next levels, you don't want it to just be like the same thing,
harder.
Extra damage, you know, because if each one has a different flavor.
It's just got just a little spice
just
on it.
Just like we
did with, I think Citadel's the good example there, right?
That extra target is nasty.
Yeah. I mean, you're only hitting one. But the juggle. Idea, it's like it's
you
it,
can juggle.
Well, but you're also like it's, none of you motherfuckers move.
Yeah, it's not just you deal two more damage. There's an exponential flip to it, like it opens, yeah. like a pop up.
Because I mean, we could say like allies caught in it get plus one dodge, enemies get negative one to dodge or negative one to hit. Well, it wouldn't be negative one to it wouldn't be plus one to dodge and negative one to hit because it's the same thing basically. Yeah. That's boring. I don't like that. Yeah. Right.
Could Dazzling Ray take away some of their dodge?
It could.
Hit someone and just shock them to the ground or something.
I almost think we don't need so much Boon. Bane, I think Bane is almost the get.
That's fun.
Double down on the Bane. Leave the Boons away.
Well, let's think of a Bane. I mean, if we can mirror them, then it's fine. But the plus one, negative one, right? Like, it's not spicy enough. It's spicy enough. Mechanically, it's viable, and you'll be happy to have it, but it's not interesting.
What if you get to choose one target in the Ray, and you get to just do an extra thing? Whether it's good or bad, you as the player, as your Radiance player who's now very hard in, you have a long Ray. You have a 7-hectare Ray now, right? You have a 7-space Ray.
Or got something. Well, I want to hear your... Because okay. Well,
then you just be like, extra damage Bane to one enemy, or extra healing Boon to one friend. You pick one that you double down.
I agree. What if that's the terminus of the Ray?
Ooh.
And it is increased by an amount of the spaces you didn't use.
Okay.
That's spicy. That's some choice. That's some tactics. That's some spacing.
Red pepper flakes.
So let's just increase the range by 2. No, let's make it 3.
Okay, so it's 8.
Right, and...
Make it long.
And only... And we don't increase the dice tier. We say the dice tier increases.
Yeah.
One target within there, the dice tier increases... It has to be the final target.
Yeah.
Right. The final target of the Ray.
The damage is the amount
damage
of...
Damage or healing.
Healing is the unused spaces in that Ray.
The dice tier increases by that one. Many. For
each space.
Right. Is that enough?
I think
let's
it
increase
is.
The base dice tier.
Yes.
Okay. So let's
increase... Well, I think that, yeah, the dice tier base in the range should increase.
Yeah.
And then the terminus gets... this extra ability.
So do range plus 3, dice tier plus 3. The final valid target within the
final,
Ray.
So it's final valid target so that if there's 3 people in front of you.
It's the third one.
It's the third one. And do the spaces past also count as unused spaces?
Yeah, if there's nobody beyond them. Or you can, if you don't want to hit the person beyond them, you can terminate it at them.
Like it, because it's very versatile.
And also if there's only one of your party that needs healing,
you just
terminate it at them.
Okay. I like it.
So we'll say you may choose where the Ray ends within its range.
Mm-hmm.
The final valid target within that range.
This is some of our messiest rules text, but I'm okay with that.
I mean, we'll refine it.
One, we'll refine it, but also like the text is allowed to get messier in high tiers.
Yes.
You should be more familiar with.
Yeah. So we'll say you choose where the Ray ends within its range. The final valid target within the chosen distance is healed or is damaged by an increased amount determined by the amount of unused range.
Yes.
Okay. And then final one, step 10. So that's just Advanced Dazzling Ray.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yep. You're good with that?
Perfect.
Yep.
I like that. I think that's the
it's
spice.
It's tasty.
Right?
It's tasty.
Okay. Step 10, capstone. Resurrection.
Yep.
We're good? Once per day, if you would die, instead you gain 5 death score, and you are immediately resurrected to full health. And you don't...
I think it should be better than that.
Right? Okay. Let's hear it.
All boons, all banes. You are a fresh baby boy.
Okay.
No pink, death score.
You're pink and
no
recently
death score,
washed.
No momentum. No death score. No momentum. No banes, no boons. You are a fresh baby boy.
I don't like removing momentum.
Yeah, momentum's
weird. Because that will keep you from... Well, I guess you're not going to level up too much further, probably. The campaign should be close to ending.
Yeah.
By this point, right? By
you dump your momentum. This is the cost of it. Dump your momentum, but anything that has happened to you is washed away. You don't wake up. You don't have broken bones. You don't, like, you are brand new.
You have regenerated
as the doctor. Or even, could say your momentum is reduced to zero and then increased by 10.
Mm-hmm.
So that you don't immediately die the next time you fall down. But it should be a set amount.
Well, I think that's why I think you gain death score instead, right? So, like, your fresh baby boy, you wipe your death score. Then you roll 2d20.
Your momentum?
No, that's your death score. I think you keep your momentum, because if you're wanting to level up, like, you shouldn't, like, if you're like, oh, I want to take, like, a couple steps down another path, I've saved up 60 momentum.
Yeah, and if you're like, my choices are die or basically start from scratch.
Well, I don't think you should have to choose to. Here's an argument for why.
Okay.
I don't want you to lose your momentum.
All right.
Is that I think this is something that you shouldn't feel bad about using, because this is your step 10 capstone.
Yeah. Fair.
Because I think there should be, like, the risk that you maybe gain death score, right? But the idea is, I don't have to use this. Somebody could probably pick me up. But me being down is such a negative, I don't want to feel bad about coming back immediately to try to solve
this
problem.
Do you have to reach your momentum death score for this to trigger?
No.
Okay.
No, I think just zero HP.
This is a swift scene, right?
I think it's an immediate.
I mean, scene ability. We can just
every scene.
Yeah.
No, a daily.
Daily. I still just want to make it a little better.
Okay. Well, I think you should have a one round buff, and any adjacent enemies should take a debuff.
I'm almost saying this. You're reduced to zero hit points.
Mm-hmm. This is a May. You don't have to immediately do this.
You resurrect. You get a free turn. You are not exited from the turn order. This is not a replacement. You get a free turn.
We don't change turn actions.
Turn actions?
We just don't have that as a rule within ours. We don't change,
I'm just saying. You resurrect, you get a free turn.
How about instead of free turn?
Action?
Attack action.
Okay.
Because you can swap it down.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so you're reduced to zero hit points. How about you can only do this when you have no death score? So you're gonna do it the first time it happens.
Okay.
And it'll weigh against you for, like... For the martyrdom, you were like, "I don't want to."
Mm-hmm.
Listen. If I take on your death score, I can't
resurrect.
Do this, which I think is
fair, totally fair,
and not an unreasonable restriction at all. Okay,
then you just can't use this to dump your martyrdom, which is what I thought we were doing, using it for.
I don't think you should be able to dump martyrdom. I think that's a emergency. That's your ejection. You know, your eject seat. You're wasting the plane.
That's robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Exactly.
So you flash so bright that everybody misses a turn, and you get the extra turn, right?
That's the same as getting an extra turn.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
You just get to pop up and go, fuck you.
Yeah, so I think you can only do it when you have zero death score.
Fair.
You immediately come back, roll 2d20. You gain that much death score.
All right.
Well, it's once per day. We'll just say you gain 8.
Fair.
Because then you can rest to remove all of
That's
it.
That's a day. Yeah.
Okay. You gain 8 death score, and there should be... Do we want to give you like a plus? Like your next ability, you'll get a plus, like a flat bonus?
I don't even think... I think you get to pop up, take an action, gain some death score. That's pretty good. Pretty good.
It is good.
And you get to do it once a day?
This is the top end, though. I want a spice. I want just... Okay. I want some spicy shit on it.
You should have some radiant shielding.
I like that. I like shielding.
Like you go down, you come up.
I was thinking about adding dodge, because it's like everybody's surprised, but yeah. I think shielding
is maybe the better get.
I agree, actually, because you can use that action
to
disengage.
What makes you feel importantly, you get to build your retribution score with it.
But what makes you feel like you died as Gandalf the Grey, and now you're Gandalf the White?
Yes.
Like, what is the thing that makes you feel...
The whole thing is, I don't think you should be able to do that, because you get to do it a lot.
No. Like, I'm not saying you literally level up.
I agree.
But
I see where you're going. Yeah. So you come back with a permanent buff, we'll say?
For the encounter?
Yeah.
Okay. I like that.
Like plus one to hit?
Yeah.
For the rest of the encounter?
No, I would say at the beginning of your turn, you gain composer shielding.
That's okay.
I just say with retribution,
I think it's okay great. Because I think you'll only need it. Immediately,
like I think that would make you.
I think that would make you very aggressive all of a sudden, because you'd be trying to knock it off you. Like, get rid of this four, get rid of this four, get rid of this four.
Well, remember that only core Radiance gets retribution.
Yeah.
So if you have a different core,
sure,
mm-hmm. right? That's so what? Okay, I like the Gandalf the Grey to Gandalf to White comparison. Can you lay it out for me? Like, what's the differences in his power?
I feel like
he just like got a blanket buff to everything, right?
Yeah, and I'm not saying literally that's the level of leveling that you get so much as how do we get the player to feel like this is a big thing? And if you zero hit points, you're down, and you have zero death score, you say, okay, I'm gonna do it. You're right back up again.
You immediately come back. You gain no traumas. You gain eight death score. You get plus one to all d20 rolls until the end of the scene.
I was going to say stats.
Well, that's, I mean, functionally the same.
Yeah. The idea that you had...
But I like that. Just bonus, just flat plus one. Mm-hmm. Just flat plus one on all...
Rolls? Or all your stats?
What if I like that.
Well, because all your stats gives you a plus two to dodge.
What if it's
which I'm not as cool with.
A radiant D4.
Yeah, you're right. But I like the idea of I don't even want it to be all D20 rolls. I want damage and healing.
Once per turn, an ally healed by you or an enemy hurt by you goes for max. Mm-hmm. They take an extra D4 of damage or healing. You get to pick one per round.
I like it.
That's cool. Flat plus one to all rolls. Yep. To all D20 rolls. to all attack and defense rolls.
And then a D4 to all healing and damage.
Not to Banes, for instance, where like when you do the... if you suck death score away later, you get a plus one on those.
Well, the problem is that we've included D20s as a part of the dice tier for damaging. And I don't want that.
I'm saying, D4. But also I think those should be included in the D20 roll.
Okay.
Sucking your death score, those get plus one too. Because you've died and...
To martyrdom.
You're died to martyrdom. You're coming back. You're sucking more death. You are going hard.
To all non-damage rolls.
Yes. And then you get the four.
Until the end of the scene.
Yeah.
And this one's called Ignition Remix.
I just think this should be called
Hot and Fresh Out the Kitchen.
Should it be Resurrection or Apotheosis?
Resurrection, because Apotheosis implies something permanent.
I guess. Yeah,
I mean, so does Resurrection, but the thing we want.
Yes.
Let's look up synonyms for Resurrection. Biblical ones?
I mean, I feel like this is fun. I think in the gaming world, Resurrection doesn't imply a permanent thing, because, I mean, how many times have you played a game? Res, please. You know, it's like, it's almost common.
Yeah.
Well, I mean...
Also,
you were permanently resurrected.
Because you were going to be permanently dead.
Correct.
But it's also a thing of, eventually, there will be... I do want there to be at least two resurrection rituals. One death-based, one life-based, that are horrific as fuck. Both of them.
Rebirth.
Boom. There you go. Done.
Renaissance.
I like it. Hey, for anybody listening, we were using Webster's dictionary a lot of times to use their thesaurus. Every thesaurus I've used is dog shit compared to Rhyme Zone. Rhyme Zone is the best. Yep. It'll do everything. It'll do...
I use it for rhymes.
That's good. How about instead of 8 death score, it's equal to your level?
Deal. Yeah, because you can increase that.
Yeah. I mean, you will take minimum 9.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. So we'll say daily.
Are we still playing with the general way to do extra levels if that ever occurs in your campaign, is that you just get to take other paths? Is that the working frame that we are working from?
That is an idea that we are not focusing on yet.
Okay. Mm.
When it comes time to talk about it, we will also include other ideas. That's the only one we have currently.
Okay.
I do like that one.
It is neat.
But we should...
It is elegant.
We are putting that aside.
Okay.
That's not important yet.
Okay.
But it will be. I love it. So I'll say quick order of business. I would like to change the name of the Savathian character bonus that we gave them and kind of removed from them. Let's change the name of that.
I thought you were going big and saying Savathian. We're getting rid of Savathian.
Yeah, I like that name.
I think it's actually really great.
Entire race, they're gone. Mm-hmm. Fish people are out.
I do
don't
want,
like them.
I do no eventually. More, I no do more eventually oceans. Want more races.
Of course, eventually.
I want playable Pawas.
You know what? How about instead of changing the name? Because the thing that they had,
what?
They now have 4 abilities and they're pretty good.
Uh huh.
So we had the character bonus and we removed it. Maybe it should stay removed. They used to have an ability called character bonus, where they would get a plus one bonus to character actions, which is okay, but we don't really do the character action thing as a part of combat anymore. That's usually just a free action. Do
it's
whatever
a vestigial,
you want.
Yeah.
Right. So if we did rename it, it would probably be something like a plus one to composure-based skill checks or something like that during combat. I don't think that's appropriate anymore because they have four racial abilities. I'm going to go over them really quick because they're really good. Lux Chromatic Skin. They can create light from their skin.
Yeah.
Underwater breathing, self-explanatory.
Great.
Good.
Remembered Past, where they get to roll twice and use the higher.
That's the marquee, right?
Mm-hmm. And Rippling Lunge, where it's a per scene attack where they get the upper hand. And if they don't already have the upper hand, or if they have the upper hand already, the damage increases.
Yeah, great.
It's good.
Yeah.
Just great abilities. They don't need the character bonus. And also they don't need it because the way professions changed.
Yeah.
So your profession will just give you a blanket bonus to whatever that thing is that you do. All right.
Yeah, Remembered Past is pretty great.
Yes.
Well, it's also just, it's flavorful as well. It's super mechanically crunchy. Good and flavor, like it's a flavor and mechanics win.
So I have geography is one of our notes.
Yes.
Because of our plan to split the map into regions, I kind of just want to create some region names.
All right.
And we can assign them to the physical map.
Yeah.
We create some region names. We decide which culture is within which region, and some of them can share.
Yeah.
We don't have to get into too much detail right now, but we want to get the framework for how these things work.
Sounds great.
I would like most... Let's come up with the... We decided that Akanosh is near the middle. And we have names for like countries and stuff like that, but Akanosh is near the middle, so it probably is not one of the coastal regions, although it may touch a coast.
It should touch, I would say, more than one coast.
Well, we can say that the Akanoshian Empire can, but the city of Akanosh.
Yes.
Maybe not have
direct
access.
So the region of Greater Akanosh?
I don't think Akanosh is a region, but the Akanoshian Empire touches, like, the sun never sets on the Akanosh Empire.
Yeah, but I would just like, you know, you have the UK.
Yes.
Britain is a place, and you have the British Empire. There should be Akanosh.
Yes.
And then the Akanoshian Empire has now spread past it.
Agreed. I think the Akanoshian Empire reaches into multiple regions.
Absolutely.
Great.
Okay.
Yeah.
So agreed. That's the one where I think it's centrally located.
Uh-huh.
Not perfectly, obviously, but more centrally located.
I would say eastern, southern, southeastern, central is where I actually see it.
Let me bring up the...
Does southeastern central make sense to you for the Akanoshian Empire?
It does, if I'm thinking of them flavor-wise.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Summer boys.
But unless you present me the map and then I go, that doesn't make any fucking sense.
They're not winter guff. But, so we're thinking like a region like Latia, where Rome was part of Latia, but...
Well, I'm thinking of like almost Byzantine.
Okay. So like, you had Byzantium, then you had the Byzantine
Empire.
Yeah,
you have Akanosh, you have Byzantium, or you have Constantinople, right?
Yeah.
Then you have Byzantium, and then you have the Byzantine Empire.
Should it be the kingdom of Akanosh and the Empire? Like how Queen Elizabeth was the Queen of England... And then the Empress of Britain, of India.
They're actually, you know what? The way that the Akanoshian Empire is organized, I would imagine that there would be satellite states.
Yeah.
That would also make sense.
Our current map, as I see it, I'm showing it to the guys.
Oh,
yes.
I love it.
I do like it.
It probably has like 30 to 36 countries, right? Like you
but we're
say
talking about regions now.
Correct. Yeah. So I don't want to worry about the countries right now, but you can see, I've posted this before on the Patreon. I'll make sure to post it again with this so we're talking about it. And if we draw up another thing for it, we will post that as well.
Yes. Okay.
The map looks like a big old Asia map. It's huge. And there's
but turned around with Japan
West. It's like imagine if you took an M, a capital M, and then you made it super fat, like the lines got really fat until they all blended together. That's what it looks like.
Can we add this to the Patreon, or is it already up there?
This is already up there.
Okay,
we're gonna add it again for this episode.
We're gonna have to do some stuff.
It would just drive me crazy to have a map to scratch me.
Right, I understand. Look at it. But yeah, I'm just saying the general shape. And it's broken down to multicolored, like 30 to 36 countries, roughly, just by first glance. That's fine, but I would say region-wise, we don't have a lot of information about topography.
I would say, should we go with like an equator to start with?
I don't think so. Well, because I think this is just one continent, by the way. This isn't the whole world map.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but it would still have equatorial like that, I think environment would lead to
region. I think that's a decision for a later date.
Okay.
No, but I agree. But I think that we're missing here is topography.
Yes.
Like there's some topographical information within the map, but it's not very good or fleshed out. So I would like to divide this purely on sight, and then we could add topography to justify those divisions.
Okay.
Would that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
they have like a Gloom Smite region.
All right. So
we could probably show on the map where Gloom Smite is reached, like one of those World War II maps with the red arrows float over it with shadows.
So should we start with Aknosh?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so,
are we starting with?
I think we should start with literally like how physically we break this thing down. How many divisions do we want? How many regions?
That's why I was saying start with an equator because then we could start chopping.
I almost think what are the three? Not all the regions should be the same size.
Right.
Let's pick three major regions, lay them out, and then I think we can fill in the rest.
And like a regions that's mainly grasslands can be larger than other ones because travel is easier.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. So managing it is simpler.
There won't be as many people.
I would like to do four.
Just four?
Just four for now. And then we can break them down into sub-regions.
Really? Because I would like three major and then three to four smaller ones that are certain coastal regions should be set aside. Or even there should just
let's do coastal regions first.
Yeah.
Let's do four coastal regions and then we'll worry about the interior ones next episode.
That sounds great.
Okay. So four coastal regions are different in size, and I can see that there's actually pretty clear ways in which they are topographically different around the edge. Let's break down. So let's say the whole eastern seaboard.
Yeah.
Okay. That's one region. We could call that...
From red to light green?
From here to here?
Yeah.
Basically, the eastern seaboard that faces directly east and slightly... It begins to face southeast, but mostly northeast.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it hilly? Is it...
I think that is arid.
It's arid.
I think, again, I'm thinking the megalithic rod area.
Cliffs.
Cliff faces. It's very arid. There is rain that comes in. There is rain that comes in from the seaboard, but it's just less than the mountainous area that kind of holds it out. It's like a reverse California.
Welcome to the reverse California.
Yeah, it's reverse California.
Okay.
It's not the same place.
Arid, I think, is appropriate for where it meets the beach. If we say that rivers...
I said internally. Internally, I think it's arid, and then it gets wetter as you get to the place where the rain could come in.
Because I think the Hrod... have a very fertile crescent culture.
Yes.
Right?
So it's very coastal based, and then they go into an arid area.
Okay. Because I think like thematically being river based was, or delta based, right? Was the thing. Okay. That's fine. So we'll say lots of rivers.
That come in from a mountainous area.
Uh-huh. And otherwise arid as you leave the rivers.
I think the direct coast can get rain. But that's already a place that's being river delted, so it's less important.
So
it just doesn't enter in as much as you think it would.
It's also one of the reasons why their history survives so well, because there's not like they're not in a jungle, you know, like the things aren't constantly churning.
Yeah.
Okay, so they have like lots of plants and stuff like that near the coast and near the rivers that are leading out into the coast.
Are kind of like lifebloods. Yeah.
Deserts make natural borders for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they can have like a north desert and a south desert that are different, right? So like one is like lots of stones, the other one's pure sands, that kind of thing. And probably are cut off, and the third border would be a strict mountain range.
Yeah.
Right, okay. So they have to cross the desert to get to this area, or they have to come over the mountains.
Well, the mountain range is what makes a desert, too.
Yes,
correct.
So,
yeah. Okay, I like that. Okay, so let's then move to, we'll say the largest coast would be the bottom. It's like it makes almost a smile shape.
Yeah,
would it be like a grassy step, like where the Huns came from?
I think it would incorporate. This would be probably the most diverse biome.
Okay.
Yeah. And also politically diverse.
Yeah, politically diverse. Lots of, it's easier to get around there.
Kind of
because
Holy Roman Empire, kind of? Lots of small kingdoms?
Could be.
I would.
Europe in general, I think.
Okay. I was even thinking like Southeast Asia. A lot of small nations.
That's a good one too.
That are collectively, culturally similar enough that if you're not from there, you get the feeling of it. But if you're in it, it's very distinct for them.
Let's put some like a large amount of barrier islands as well.
Yes. Okay.
At the bottom.
Yes,
because that would create the seaborne culture that would allow them to travel upriver and move around and and create the trade. So I think Aknosh should be north of that, probably. It would naturally be north of that. It's more centrally located. But I mean the idea that Aknosh was built on a series of locks, right, for a canal.
Yeah.
So it would be north of this anyway.
I would actually put it almost directly east of our megaliths on the other side of that mountain range, where the same rivers, the opposite rivers, feed through the opposite way.
You mean directly west of it?
Yes, directly west.
Okay.
Okay.
That could work.
And the sister river goes out and maybe meets the capital city of that western border, because it's the same major mountain that feeds both of them.
And we've got some good lakes in there. We're only going to keep things we want, obviously, because I'm going to redraw this map. Okay, so the southern area, we'll say the most diverse biome.
Yeah.
We're adding a bunch of barrier islands. Tons of cultures here.
From swamp to tropical forest to deciduous forest.
The Ascension culture, the caldera that's there, is coastal. So it would be there
as well. It would probably be there.
Mm-hmm.
The Piro are probably in that area.
Israelion is absolutely there.
Yes.
We currently have it in the southeastern edge, close to the other region, but not quite there.
I like that. And I think the Piro should be on that that western.
Oh, yeah. Divided from the Marins.
There's that really big
internal Piro being the Cajun alligators.
That really big internal bay.
Yeah.
I like the idea that, like, that bay, is that surrounding bay area and up in there.
Right in the middle, that red splotch, the Boris Yeltsin one.
Yeah.
Can that be the Guff kingdoms then?
Oh, the Guff city-states?
So like the civilized one would be red.
Yeah, we'll say Guff's pretty well interspersed in the whole western
region.
But
regions. We have like a civilized...
Yeah, and the city-states could be in there. That, yeah, I like and that red. Puts them close enough to Akinosh.
Yeah. Although, I don't think we want them to be coastal. They should be Greeks without a coast.
This isn't coastal.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But then the wild Guff are up north of that.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
Okay, I like that.
So like Kelton would be in the
But also, and they kind of spread through... down into to other areas. Okay. There's clutches.
So we've talked about Akinosh, we've talked about the Guff mm-hmm. city-states, and we've placed them on the map, kind of directly opposite each other in the interior.
But their influence would butt up against each other.
Yeah, yeah. We know the western one probably begins where this
is that the
state begins with a giant lake.
What was the floating city? The
That is off the coast.
Sin,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Sen, I believe. Mm-hmm. That, I think, just circuits the
yeah.
But I'm saying place. that would influence coastal cultures, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, the skimmers.
Lots of gelt, yeah.
So I believe we have this big area right here with a giant Lake Okeechobee, basically.
That would be maybe even a sea.
Yeah, an inner sea.
Yeah.
It begins probably where that border is,
mm-hmm.
and it goes all the way up. It goes north to the western point.
I would divide those two.
Okay.
I think I would divide that into two extra things.
Well, because then we can have a purely north one as well.
Yeah, I think there should be a purely north one.
I think the north one should
again,
be smaller.
It should be a smaller version of that divided culture south. Is there that... bit of coast is a little more divided.
Well, let's give it just the western seaboard up to the...
I like that.
Oh, you're giving them that much?
Yeah, I know. I think that's
just
good.
This much.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to take that grayish one on the top there.
Mm-hmm.
Could we make like a... Because we have that culture that lives in the woods, the Krex culture.
Yes.
So they would need like an arboreal...
Agreed.
Yeah, so wherever we want to put that too.
Okay, so this western culture, we could say is... I think this whole area could be very mountainous.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Right, and lead out to the ocean. So we've got coniferous forests. We've got probably the Krex culture that are like the condors.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You know, or in the mountainous areas.
Okay,
and
but that also has to be where the Eshwin civilization is, right?
Which one?
The one that is trying to invade Israelia.
Oh yeah, let's put them there. You're right.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's good because they could be very secretive in that area.
Yeah.
Okay, and now this whole northern place, which is probably, it's more than half of the northern seaboard.
Yeah.
It is just full of bays. There's just so many bays we're looking
at
here.
Straight up almost fjords.
There's even little Denmark.
There is little Denmark.
There really is.
Yeah.
I like that being there. I don't really want to nail that one down because it feels like there's got to be hundreds of different people living there. But not a very diverse biome compared to the southern wide region.
Yeah.
But diverse people now.
Yes.
Right? So what kind of climate do you... Well, if it's bays, let's say it's subtropical.
Are we doing subtropical or are we doing...
Wait, are we... Is this going south to the pole?
No. I was thinking give it to Galene. Give it to like...
she gets her own
Seattle.
Region.
You know what I mean? Portland,
yeah,
Maine.
I thought it would be foggy.
Okay, at the edge, and then we can...
That's where
it becomes more temperate.
Mm-hmm. And at its highest point, it becomes not subarctic, but cold.
Okay. All right. I like that. There we go. So now we need names for them.
Should we name the other two major island points that I also think are cool?
I think islands are cool. I think we don't name them yet because I kind of want those. We have these two giant islands. It's kind of like the size of like Sri Lanka.
Oh,
and,
no. One of the I think one of them
Japan.
I think one of them is the size of Japan and the other is Great Britain if it was smushed into a brownie.
Okay. I think islands are cool adventure places. Let's leave them for later.
All right. Really? Because I think one of them should just be like a nation on itself that has gotten fully developed and then meets the rest of the world, and they're like, holy crap.
Reverse.
Well, no, the whole thing is, we can invade you because we're just way better organized. Like, we're an island nation, and you guys are many nations, and we could just fucking fight you.
The sea people.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to go Donjon for names?
Donjon.
Yeah,
does as well.
Let's do it.
Shout out to Donjon.
I mean, one of them is just going to be Akanosh.
No, this all predates Akanosh.
Okay, all right.
Akanosh is too new for this.
Although I do want at least one of them to be overly literal. And they're like, what do you call these place? The Westerlands. I just like that.
Yes.
Existing at least one place.
Hill on River.
It's called North Bay. This area is called North Bay.
Most countries are just
they do a lot
names.
Of that, man.
Yep. Some of these are pretty good. Oh, this is great. This is really great, actually. Oh, what a great tool. If you guys are looking for a world generator, go to Donjon. They have a fantasy world generator. It's pretty cool. They have a whole area named the Desolation of Yarmul, which I like. There's the Getla Hills, the Radiant Desert, the Bastion of the Wraith Duchess.
Oh, I kind of like the Radiant Desert.
Bunella Downs. These are great.
Yeah.
The Jungle of Spears, Harlem.
Write that down. Jungle of Spears sounds rule like that rules.
We need a jungle. We need a full of spears. Oh, we need it now.
All right, this is ours. We're taking it because I think we're allowed to. If we're not, I'm sorry, Donjon. We'll redact and change everything. But Daemor, the City of Temples, Kashi.
Actually, I want Daemor, the City of Temples, to be where my Thieves Guild thing happens.
Mongo, City of the Broken Blade, the Monastery of Poison Tears. This is really good.
Yeah.
The Sea of Aces.
I like that too.
I do. The Temple of Elemental Evil. Hey, an old favorite shows up.
That one's probably copyrighted.
Mm-hmm. Gatun.
Oh, what's
City
the
of the Old Ones.
What's the copyrighted name of the Imperial Guard? Because they had to give it a copyrighted name.
Oh, it's not Adepta. It's
something Astratus, right?
Yeah,
no, it's not an Astartes. It's
Militarum.
Astra Militarum.
Yeah, I'll never call him that.
Oh, they
IG,
don't.
Bro.
They don't do it internally. They just put it on the book they can copyright the book. Which is, I mean, I get why they have to do that.
Mm-hmm. Got the Troll Hills and the Fangwood Forest, the Chaos River. That's fun.
Mm-hmm. I like Chaos River.
The Desert of Flames. This is great.
I like the Radiant Desert better. I don't know why.
Castle of Havoc.
There's Dairon Dust. In a specific desert, and it just makes it really bright and, in fact, worse to travel through.
You just die from being in it, and they don't know because you're inhaling metal flakes in your lungs.
You just get metal poisoning.
Yep.
A forest called the Garden of Demons.
That's what I like to call my junk.
Garden of Demons. There's only one tree in that garden.
That's not true.
It's good and evil.
There's a snake, and there are two apples.
All right. Donjon, thank you.
Thanks, Donjon.
Iriand. It's pretty cool.
I like that for a mountainous area. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's say Harad would name their area. Harad are old enough to have a region named after
them.
So let's start with them.
But specifically the Mara.
Okay. Yeah.
So let's start with that and work from there.
It could just be the Maroon or...
Mm-hmm. I'm down with something
the
like
The Meril. Land of the Mara.
I'm
the
down Meril. With Meril.
Yeah, I like that. M-E-R-I-L.
Yeah.
Two L's.
Yes. For a long L. The Meril.
Hmm?
We're getting into Merrill Lynch territory there.
Let's do the Northern Baynorth, North Bay.
Just Baynor.
Baynor.
Baynor. They remove the TH because they don't need to.
Slang.
Yeah.
All right.
It used to be called Baynorth, and then everyone's there like, ah, it's Baynor.
Then they started calling it Baynor, and then they're like,
yeah. Ooh, I kind of like Bayodale.
Actually, I like that too.
I'm down with Bayodale.
Take it just the west, the smaller western coast, Bayodale, where it's all mountain. It's like, ugh. They're going to go hide out in Bayodale.
Yeah, you're going from Baynor to Bayodale? Terrible.
I hear the hunting's good, but sometimes you're the thing that gets hunted. And then the southern seaboard, the most diverse area, the Sea of Traitors.
There should be a sea there called that, 100%.
It'd be even cool if it was Traitors, would think.
Oh, the Sea of Traders?
Yeah.
Sea of Merchants.
Oh, I kind of like... I saw something here that was like the Jungle of Jade. And then I was like, oh, we could say the Jade Coast. But that has Asian connotations.
Yeah.
How about Dairon Coast?
The Dairon Land or the Dairon Coast? I like that.
We could say, Dairon Coast. That's
Black Dairon Coast.
And the whole thing is, it's not even that Dairon is mined there. Mm-hmm. That's just where the major shipping lanes are. So you're making a run down the Dairon Coast. Even if this is the official name, it could be unofficially named the Dairon Coast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's just like 23 trading posts all in a row that are in like within a day's travel. You're like, oh, you just run up that.
You're just doing Sid Meier's now, buddy.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
We could say something even that I like Dairon. The problem with using the word Dairon, is it puts kind of a span on how long it's been called that to more recent than
okay,
I think it would be.
I get that, yeah.
If we called it something like the Shield Coast or Armor Coast or something like that, or some kind of, let's see.
The Coast of Broken Shields.
Think value. Think trade.
Trade? Okay.
I kind of like, you said Broken Shield. I kind of like Broken Coast because we're adding a bunch of barrier islands.
Broken Sail Coast.
The Broken
Sail Coast.
The Shattered Coast.
Shattered Coast,
I do not mind.
I think that's it, boys.
Right. Yes.
Shattered Coast.
Colloquially also known as the Dairon Run.
Yeah.
I'm down with the Dairon Run.
Because there's a lot of interstitial cities. You can make
a
lot of money.
The Dairon Run's like a cannonball run where you plot. It's like the Silk Road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can avoid Echinocean taxes if you hit the certain trade way
at
the right time.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. Perfect.
All right. Done. Print it. All right, boys. Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody, for listening. As always, you can find us on Patreon. We are at patreon.com/RPGFS. $2 and up patrons get access to the Omniverse Discord, where you can speak to us. You can speak to other Omniverse shows. You can find us on Twitter for the time being. We are at Homebrew Hombres. I'm looking into alternatives now, boys. It's going to be...
We'll be sending out some truce.
Actually, wait for our verified profile.
Yeah.
Ugh. I'm not paying $8 for that. And on Facebook.com, Facebook's also kind of a dead page now, but it's Facebook.com/RPGFS. And until next time, stay safe, stand watch, and get a full rest.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.